Leviticus chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. This is the word of the Lord. If a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, he may redeem it within a year of its sale. For a full year, he shall have the right of redemption. If it is not redeemed within a full year, then the house in the walled city shall belong in perpetuity to the buyer. Throughout his generations, it shall not be released in the Jubilee. But the houses of the villages that have no wall around them shall be classified with the fields of the land. They may be redeemed, and they shall be released in the Jubilee. As for the cities of the Levites may redeem at any time the houses in the cities they possess. And if one of the Levites exercises his right of redemption, then the house that was sold in a city they possess shall be released in the Jubilee. For the houses in the cities of the Levites are their possession among the people of Israel. But the fields of pasture land belonging to their cities may not be sold, for that is their possession forever. This is the word of the Lord. Land of Israel, it belonged to the Lord. The land of Israel belonged to the Lord because it was the land where he dwelt. It was the land where he dwelt with his people. The land of Israel, it was the inheritance of Israel. And each family in Israel was given a portion of the land. Each family was given a share of the inheritance. To possess a portion of that land, it was to possess a portion of the land where God dwelt with his people. God's promise to Abraham was to give that land to his offspring and to be their God forever. That land was promised by God to Abraham and to his offspring as a possession forever. And so a family was not to be deprived of its inheritance in the land. If a man, on account of poverty, was forced to sell his land, if he was forced to sell the inheritance of his fathers, he was not selling it forever, but only for a time. He always had the right to redeem it, or one from his family had the right to redeem it for him. But if he or another could not redeem it, then the Lord would redeem it for him in the Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was a year to proclaim liberty. The year of Jubilee was a year to proclaim grace. In the 50th year, the land was given again to each one of the families of Israel. In the year of Jubilee, each one of the families gained again possession of the inheritance promised to them by God. In the year of Jubilee, each one of the families gained again possession of that portion that had been given to them by God. It was a renewal of the promise to Abraham, "I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession." The year of Jubilee, it revealed the faithfulness of God. The year of Jubilee proclaimed, yes, God is faithful. He is faithful to keep His word. He is faithful to keep His promises. That which He has spoken, that which He has promised, He will do. The year of Jubilee was a year of great joy. It was a year of proclaiming grace. It was a year of proclaiming God's faithfulness. Now, last Lord's Day, we began to consider some of the exceptions to the rite of redemption and the year of Jubilee. And these exceptions in Leviticus chapter 25 concern the cities of Israel, cities with walls. The rule regarding one's dwelling place within a walled city, it differed from the rule regarding one's dwelling place outside of a walled city. If someone sold his dwelling place outside of a walled city, he always possessed the right of redemption. And even if he never exercised that right, the land would be released to him in the year of Jubilee. But if someone sold his dwelling place within a walled city, he still possessed the right of redemption, but only for a time, only for a year. After that year, if the dwelling place was not redeemed, it became instead the possession of the one who had bought it. It became his possession forever. It would not be released in the year of Jubilee. In this way, someone who was not an Israelite by birth might himself come to possess a portion in the land of the Lord's dwelling. Someone who was not an Israelite by birth might come to enjoy the blessing of Israel, might come to share in the inheritance of Israel. A Gentile, one from the nations, one who sojourned among the people as a foreigner and a stranger, he might himself come to possess a portion in that land as an heir, as a citizen. In Ezekiel, a book in many ways closely related to the book of Leviticus, in Ezekiel we see that this is not only hypothetical, but that it was in fact part of God's purpose that even strangers and sojourners among the people might come to share in the blessings of His people. In Ezekiel, the prophet is shown a vision of the land of promise and glory. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, that land is divided again among the tribes of Israel for an inheritance. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 21. "So you shall divide this land among you according to the tribes of Israel. And then in verse 22, we read, "You shall allot it as an inheritance for yourselves and for the sojourners who reside among you and have had children among you. They shall be to you as native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel." In Leviticus chapter 25, we see a way in which the strangers and sojourners among the people might come to share in the blessings of the people, might come to share in the inheritance of the people. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, we see that this was God's purpose, that the strangers and sojourners among his people might one day be counted as native-born children, that they too might be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. What we see in Leviticus chapter 25, what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 47, we see it fulfilled in Revelation chapter 7. We see it fulfilled in the world to come. In Revelation chapter 7, the number of every tribe of the sons of Israel, it is seen as a great multitude that no one could number. A number from every tribe, from every nation, from all peoples, from all languages. In Revelation chapter 7, we see fulfilled what God promised in Leviticus 25 and in Ezekiel chapter 47. We see before his throne not only every tribe of the sons of Israel, but a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before his throne and crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God." Thus the promise is fulfilled. "I will be your God. I will be their God forever." It was always God's purpose that in Abraham all the nations of the earth should be blessed. And in Leviticus chapter 25, we see a glimpse of that purpose. We catch a glimpse of that hope, the hope of the nations sharing in the promise of God, dwelling with his people forever and ever. But as we see in our passage, there is an exception to this exception concerning the Levite. And in all of Leviticus, this is the only time that we ever see a Levite mentioned. In all of the book of Leviticus, this is the only time that the Levites are explicitly mentioned. And unlike one from another tribe, if a Levite sold his house within a walled city, he never lost the right of redemption. And likewise, in the year of Jubilee, that house was released to him. So what is true for an Israelite's property outside of a walled city is true for a Levite's property within a walled city. The right to redeem the property is never lost, and in the year of Jubilee, it is released. And the reason for this is that the tribe of Levi was given no portion in the land. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 20, the Lord says of Levi, "You shall have no inheritance in the land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion, I am your inheritance among the people of Israel." The Levites were not given a portion of the land because the Lord Himself was their portion. The Lord Himself was their inheritance. But then in Numbers chapter 35, the Lord also commands the people of Israel to give to the Levites some of their inheritance, to give to the Levites some of their portion as cities for the Levites to dwell in. Numbers chapter 35, verse 3, "The cities shall be theirs to dwell in, and their pasture lands shall be for their cattle, and for their livestock, and for all their beasts. The pasture lands of the cities shall reach from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits all around." And so though the Levites were not given a land of their own, they were given walled cities within that land to dwell in. And not only were they given those walled cities, but they were given the surrounding pasture lands for their cattle. Now, last Lord's Day, we considered how to reconcile these two passages. That on the one hand, the Levites were given no portion in the land, because the Lord Himself was their portion. And that on the other hand, the Levites were given a portion in the land. The Levites were given a portion of the land as cities to dwell in. And we determined that these two, they are not in contradiction to one another, but instead they make known to us, they reveal to us the special status of a city with walls. In the land of Israel, the city with walls had a special status. The city with walls in Israel, it was an image of the Lord. To dwell with the Lord is to dwell in a city with walls. To possess the Lord is to possess Him in a city with walls. The Lord's dwelling place in the land, it was the walled city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place where the temple was built. Jerusalem was the place where the Lord dwelt in the midst of His people. And Jerusalem was a city with walls. The city with walls, it is an image of the Lord, such that for the Levites to possess walled cities within the land, it was an image of their possessing the Lord. In the land of Israel, the city with walls was an image, a picture of the Lord. To possess the Lord is to possess a city with walls. To possess the Lord is to dwell with Him in a city with walls. And again, the Lord's dwelling place in the land, it was the walled city of Jerusalem. In Zechariah chapter 2, as in Ezekiel, in Zechariah chapter 2, the prophet Zechariah is shown a vision of the land in glory. In Zechariah chapter 2, the prophet is shown a vision of Jerusalem in glory. Now remember, Zechariah prophesied during the period when the temple was being rebuilt, when the walls of Jerusalem were being rebuilt. And in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 4, we read of Jerusalem in glory. We read of the city of God in glory. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 4, we read, Jerusalem shall be inhabited. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls, because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. In Zechariah chapter 2, Zechariah, beholding Jerusalem in glory, sees it as a city without walls because of the multitude of the people within it. But as we continue to read, we discover that that city will not be without a wall. That Jerusalem in glory will not be without a wall. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord. And I will be the glory in her midst. The Lord Himself will be the wall of that city. The Lord Himself will be a wall around His people. The Lord Himself will be their dwelling place. To possess the walled city, it was an image of possessing the Lord. The Lord Himself is a walled city for His people. The Lord Himself is their dwelling place. And so it will be in the world to come. In Revelation chapter 21, the heavenly Jerusalem, the dwelling place of God with man, it is seen as a city with walls. To have that city as your inheritance is to have the Lord as your inheritance. To have that city as your portion is to have the Lord as your portion. To possess that city, to dwell in that city, is to possess the Lord. It is to dwell with the Lord. The Levites possessing walled cities within the land of Israel, it was a picture of the Lord as their possession. It was a picture of the Lord as their inheritance. It was a picture of the Lord as their portion. Now in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 29 through 34, we read of exceptions to what could be redeemed, but we also read of exceptions to what could be sold. While the Levites might sell their houses within a city, in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 34, we read, but the fields of pasture land belonging to their cities may not be sold, for that is their possession forever. Now it is somewhat curious that the houses belonging to the Levites within the walled city could be sold and redeemed, but that their pasture lands surrounding the city could not be sold at all. What are we to make of this? Now, if we think about it in relation to the rest of Israel, and if we think about it in relation to the rest of the tribes, we see a kind of pattern here, one of contrasts. For the rest of the tribes, houses within a walled city were not released in the year of Jubilee. But for the tribe of Levi, houses within a walled city were released and the year of Jubilee. For the rest of the tribes, property outside of a walled city could be sold. But for the tribe of Levi, property outside of a walled city could not be sold. And so we note a contrast between Levi and the rest of the tribes. For the rest of the tribes, property outside of a walled city could be sold, but for the tribe of Levi, property outside of a walled city could not be sold. What was true for the other tribes was not always true for Levi, and what was true for Levi was not always true for the other tribes. We see a distinction between them. But how are we to account for that distinction? Well, we may account for that distinction because Levi was holy to the Lord. He was holy to the Lord in a way that the other tribes were not. To Levi belonged the priesthood. To Levi belonged service and ministry at the Lord's dwelling place. And so if we remember that Levi was distinct from the people, that Levi was holy to the Lord, we might assume that these pasture lands around the walled cities belonging to the Levites, that they could not be sold because that land was not common land, but rather holy land. It was land set apart. It was land holy to the Lord. And remember what the land was for. Why did God give that land to the Levites? He gave that land to them for their cattle and their livestock. But where did their cattle and livestock come from? It came from the people's tithe. And what does God say about the people's tithe? Leviticus chapter 27. Verses 30 and 32, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff shall be holy to the Lord. The tithe was holy. The tithe was holy to the Lord. And the tithe that was given to the Lord and that was given from the Lord to the Levites, it was holy. The tithe was holy. And so what belonged to the Levites was holy. The cattle and the livestock that were given to them from the tithe, the cattle and livestock were holy. And so if the cattle and livestock given to the Levites was holy, we may assume that the land given to the Levites for the keeping of that tithe was also holy. This would explain why the Levites were not to sell that land around the walled city. But this is not stated explicitly in Leviticus. And so there it is only an assumption. But what we assume in Leviticus is stated explicitly in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 48, we read again of that land that has been divided among the tribes. At the center of the land is the city of God with the sanctuary of God. And surrounding it is an allotment of land for the Levites. And in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 14, we read, "They shall not sell or exchange any of that land. They shall not alienate this choice portion of the land, for it is holy to the Lord." In Ezekiel chapter 48, the fields belonging to the Levites are holy to the Lord, and so they are not to be sold. The prohibition in Leviticus chapter 25, it reflects the prohibition in Ezekiel chapter 48. That land could never be sold because it was holy to the Lord. It could only be possessed by those holy to the Lord. Pasture lands which belonged to the Levites could never be sold. Fields which belonged to the Levites were never to be sold. There is no exception to this rule. For that land was holy to the Lord. Pasture lands belonging to the Levites could never be sold. Fields belonging to the Levites were never to be sold. As we think about these things, it is something of a scandal when we come to Acts chapter 4 and read of a certain Levite and of what he did. In Acts chapter 4, we read of the people of God under the new covenant, that as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we read, "Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, a Levite, sold a field that belonged to him, and he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, why does the author of Acts tell us that Barnabas was a Levite? Because in Acts chapter 4, a Levite does the very thing that was forbidden of Levites in Leviticus chapter 25. He sells this field that belonged to him. A field that was never to be sold. But in Acts chapter 4, he is not condemned for this, but rather he is commended for it. Why? Why is he to be commended for doing something that Leviticus chapter 25 forbids him to do? Because the fullness has come. Because Christ has come. And when the fullness comes, the shadow passes away. When the fullness comes, the shadow is no more. The land of Canaan was nothing more than a shadow of our true inheritance. Not the land of this earth, but the land of heaven. The walled cities of that land shadows of our true inheritance. Not the earthly Jerusalem with walls made by human hands, but the heavenly Jerusalem whose walls are the Lord Himself. In Acts chapter 4, the Levite sells his land. He sells his field because he knew that here we have no lasting city. In Acts chapter 4, the Levite sells his field because he was seeking the city to come. This is why the church does not worry about its properties. This is why the church can joyfully accept the plundering of its properties. Because you know that you have a better and lasting treasure. This is why you need not worry about what you have or do not have. This is why you need not worry about what others have taken from you or what they might take from you. To lose this world to lose your own life is to lose nothing. Because to gain Christ is to gain everything. This is why the church does not fight over land. This is why the church doesn't wage war over the possession of land, the land of Canaan or any land. For your land is not of this world. Your land is not in this world. Your inheritance, your portion, is in heaven, where Christ is. Your inheritance, your portion, is Christ. Your inheritance, your portion, is the Lord Himself. A city with walls and a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Christ has redeemed for you a place within that city. Christ has gone to prepare for you a place within that city. It is yours. It is yours by His grace. It cannot be sold. Cannot be taken away. It is your possession forever. So let us give him thanks. Let us give him praise. Amen. Let us pray.